How many of y'all have ever read the book Red Badge of Courage? The rest of y'all missed out on that. Do you remember anything about the Red Badge of Courage? The title? Hey, that's a start. Well, here, everybody can see, everybody knows what yellow and black means with books, right? It's called Cliff Notes. And so if you can't remember what's going on with Cliff Notes, then you're in trouble, because it tells you exactly what happens there, kind of paraphrase of what's going on. But the Red Badge of Courage is the story of Henry Fleming, a teenager who enlists with the Union Army in hopes of fulfilling his dreams of glory. It didn't really turn out the way that he wanted to. Actually, when he first started getting into battle, he thought, man, this isn't all that exciting. And then all of a sudden, he ran into a skirmish and he took off running. And decided it wasn't for him. And he got in with a lot of folks that were injured during the battle. And one guy particularly, he befriended him. And so they were walking along and talking, and they started asking him, well, where's your injury? And all of a sudden, Henry started disappearing and sliding back into the crowd. So Henry takes off, and he ends up finding another battle in his way of running and getting away from everything. And so gets in this battle, and he sees all the army, the Union soldiers, they're retreating, and they're running by. And he said, hold on, wait just a second. And all of a sudden, if I remember the book right, without going back and looking at all the Cliff Notes, one of the guys just took his rifle and clocked him upside the head. And so it gave him his red badge of courage. And so he ends up going back and finding his group that he was with, and they started talking to him and wanting to know where his injury, how he got his injury, and where he was in the battle, and all that kind of thing. Long story short, Henry turned out to be the guy that was right next to the commander. He ended up being the guy that ended up holding the flag. Ended up being one of the bravest people out there. But it took him being scared and running off and getting that little red badge of courage for him to know what his potential was as a soldier. For him to know exactly what he could do as a soldier. And for all the things that he hoped for and the glory that he was going to have, that little red badge of courage turned his life around, turned his heart around, turned everything around about him so he could fight in the battle and to be somebody useful. And so I don't know where you are tonight, where you see yourself, how you see yourself, whether you're confident or whether you doubt yourself. You know, sometimes I'm really confident. Sometimes I doubt myself. Anybody else there? I mean, confidence comes pretty good for the Roach Bunch. I don't know. And I don't say that braggingly, but I don't, you know, there's times that I really do doubt myself. But there's times that I really think, man, I had a great father that taught me how to do things and to be confident in myself. And hopefully I'll try to instill that in my children. To be confident and not doubt yourself, but trust your abilities and what you need to do. So tonight we're going to look at a story, and y'all all know this story very well. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 is where we're going to be. And we're going to start in verse 6. Now God sees the potential for your future. Potential to be a great servant. And so we're going to read about a young man who had great potential. Great potential to be a great servant. If you would stand, we honor God's word tonight. Starting in verse 6 of Judges chapter 6. It says, "So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and said under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, ordered to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely, I will be with you. You shall defeat the Midianites as one man." I ask my dad if he'd lead us in a word of prayer tonight.
Father in heaven, we bow in your presence again this evening, thankful that you have given us this great story from your word. We know that we are weak, as many as this fellow was. We ask you to direct us. May we realize that when we surrender our will to your will, that we are strong. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord. So help us to do that. We pray for Kelly tonight as he speaks to us. We might understand what he means, what he wants us to understand. We thank you, Father, that Jesus has paid sin's debt. We don't have to pay ourselves now, because through him we have everlasting life. We ask again you to be glorified in us and forgive us when we do fail you. And we give you the praise the best we know how. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, I won't be very long tonight, and I know all of y'all are thankful for that. But one thing I want to make clear as we begin, when we have an improper view of ourselves, it becomes a huge obstacle in the way God wants to use us. When you have an improper view of yourself and you doubt yourself, God can't use us the way He wants to. Gideon here found himself in a whole lot of trouble. And he asked this question in verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Well, the answer was given back in verse 10. It says, "You have not obeyed my voice." That's why you find yourself hiding down in this wine press. Instead of threshing wheat up on the out in the open so the air can take care of it, you're hiding down in a hole. Why are you hiding in the hole? I told you not to be afraid of the Midianites. I told you not to be afraid of their gods. But yet you didn't obey my voice, and so now you find yourself hiding and doubting the capabilities that you have. Before God could use Gideon, God had to deal with his insecurities. The same thing with you. Before God can use you, He's got to deal with your insecurities. We're insecure people. Man, that's prevalent in the day that we live in, right? We're very insecure. If I want my feelings to be hurt, all I got to do is say, "You hurt my feelings." That's it. I'm so insecure. Well, maybe not me personally, but somebody else is so insecure that it doesn't take much to hurt your feelings. And your potential has gone downhill because of that. Before God can use you, He has to deal with your insecurities. And when we see us, it's different than the way God sees us. You ever thought about that? When you see yourself, it is different than the way God sees you. Because you see yourself as, I know my past. I know what I've been through. I know what I can't handle. And I know what I can. You know, I love it that Wade and Miranda are now going to be married. That's a great thing. Amen. And I'm praying for y'all.
Amen.
But I've been in Wade's shoes, wanting to ask a girl to marry me, thinking that she's going to say yes. Thank you for saying yes, by the way. And sooner or later, he'll be in the same shoes that I was in. We come to find out that we were going to have a child. You talk about being unsure of yourself. Wait till they told you they're going to have the second one. And you're not really sure how you were going to take care of the first one, and then all of a sudden another one comes along. And then God laughs and says, hey, guess what? You got two coming at once now. You want to talk about not being sure of how you're going to handle things? But I've gotten through it because of God. We are insecure and we see ourselves as a problem that needs to be fixed, not as an answer to what God has for us. When we see ourselves, we will always question what God says. God says, hey, Kelly, I need you to preach. And I look at him for 13 years and said, no. Kelly, I need you to preach. And I said, no, I've seen what Dad's gone through. I've seen what my brothers have gone through. I know how people treat people. No, I don't want that. Because I could see myself and my attitude and my anger and my hot-headedness. And you go on down the line, I know what I'm capable of. But that's why I saw myself. But I wasn't allowing to see how God sees me. When we see us as God sees us, we can actually believe what He sees. That's a great thing to know. We see all the doubt, we see the clouds, but when God says, I see you this way, and by the way, He sees each and every one of us as the same, sinners, lost, without a Savior. And if you think He sees you as any other way, then you're mistaken. He sees us all as sinners. Now, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now He sees me as His Son, which is great, because now I can see Him as a Father and not as a God who is forcing me to do things. See, when I see God the way He sees me, I am open to a whole lot more things. When I knew that I was a sinner, I needed to see myself as a sinner and believe that I could trust Him and His shed blood, that He died on the cross for me. And to believe Him when He said, I died for you and I'm making a place for you in heaven. All you got to do is accept me. We see us as the way God sees us. Things are great. God told Gideon, He said here, in verse 12, He said, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of down in the pit, hiding in a hole. Nobody cares who you are. No, that's not what He said in verse 12. He said, you mighty man of valor. You see, Gideon saw himself as nobody. He saw him in the weakest family, in the weakest tribe, in the weakest link, in all of that. But God saw him as a mighty man of valor. And if we turn over to Romans chapter 8, I want y'all to do that for me. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, we get so scared about things. And we start thinking, you know, God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And he was weak. But here's what Paul said. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said we are more than conquerors. We don't have to worry about all those things. To know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have to count yourself as weak. You count yourself as a conqueror. And that's where we need to see ourselves, as conquerors, as child of the King. Verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours. Go in the strength that I gave you. Go, not on your own ability.'" He didn't say that. He said, "Go in this might of yours. And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." And the last four words, "Have I not sent you?" It's five words, sorry. "Have I not sent you?" I'm telling you to go and use the strength that I've given you, which is God-powered strength, because I've sent you. You're not going by yourself. I don't care how weak you think you are, you're not going by yourself. And that's why he told Gideon, "Go in this might that I've given you." We can either be paralyzed by our weakness, or we can be empowered by our strength. It's your choice. How many of you witnessed to somebody today, yesterday, last week? Brother Ken's got a sign-up list. He'll take care of you. We can either be paralyzed by our weakness, all right, or empowered by our strength. Don't criticize what God has given you. When you say, "I can't," you're criticizing God. When you say, "It's not possible," you're criticizing God. Go in the strength that He's given you. When God uses us to execute His plans for the redemption of man, His plans were for Jesus to come and for us to tell people about Jesus and His redeeming power. He anticipates, but He does not depend on our human nature. Now, He knows what human nature is. So do you, right? You know what human nature is. It's weak. It's sinful. He anticipates on that, but He doesn't depend on that. Like Gideon, we have the same reservations, the same faults, the same vanity that makes us all questionable servants. See, Gideon's outstanding characteristic is one of obedience and his willingness to serve. Now, there's a whole lot more here to the story about Gideon. "Lord, if it's you, then make the fleece wet. Lord, if it's you, then make the ground wet. Lord, am I not... make sure I just tell me I'm not going to die when all this happens." There's a whole lot more to the story of Gideon. But he was obedient and he was willing to serve. Gideon was not great because of his faith, because he lacked it. If he had great faith, he wouldn't have been down in the hole, would he? He'd been out knowing that God was going to protect him. Gideon was not great because he was brave. He wasn't. He was hiding. How many of y'all are hiding? And I hid for a long time. It's not profitable to hide. For you, God, your family, or anybody around you, it's not profitable to hide. You may think you're safe. You may think nobody can get to you. But God said, "Look, I told you not to be afraid of any of these things. The Midianites, their gods, the altar of Baal that you're going to go cut in half." He said, "Don't be afraid of this." Hiding's not a good thing. Gideon was not great because of his humility or integrity. They were absent. And Gideon will always be remembered as a great leader, a man of valor, because God knew that through his obedience, his purpose would be served. What do you want to be remembered as? Do you want to be remembered as a mighty warrior? Or do you want to be remembered as somebody that hid down in a hole? God doesn't call us for any of our perceived skills. He calls us at the appropriate time to give us an opportunity to serve Him willingly and obediently and be part of His ultimate plan. As a child of God, if you're saved, as a child of God, God has given you exactly what you need to serve Him. Just like He gave Gideon. He has given you exactly what you need to serve Him. If you needed something else, He would have given it to you. And that's what we have to remember. God gave Gideon everything he needed to serve Him, to go fight. Now, I love this. Verse 16, it finishes this. After Gideon whined about being the weakest link, it says, "And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." All it takes is for you to stand up and say, "Lord, I'm willing to serve you. Lord, just tell me where to go. Show me the path. And get out of the hole and use what He's given you to the best of His ability. Because it's His strength and His might that we're using." If you're here tonight and you have no idea about His strength, you don't know anything about His love or His shed blood, then I would love to talk to you. Because without that, without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're missing a whole lot of potential. A whole lot of potential that God could use for you and your family. For this country, we need a lot of leaders who are God-fearing leaders. Ones that aren't hiding down in the hole. And I thank God we have some of those in this church. So tonight, if you're here and the Lord's speaking to you, then come. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. As Brother Dale comes and whoever's... Y'all stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day and we thank You for allowing us to come to You in prayer tonight. Father, for the story of Gideon, for the story of him not staying down in the hole and just looking at You and saying, "Father, I can't do this," but getting out of the hole and believing in Your Word that You would protect him, that You would go with him. Father, thank You for giving us what we need to serve You. Father, we just need to find it, look at You and say, "I'm willing. Lord, I love You and I want to praise You tonight. In Your name I pray. Amen."